Game.
It is Dukes and Bell Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. We're live in the Ticketmaster Studios. We've been up here all day hanging out, talking to Michael Penix. We're going to get a chance to talk to our general manager because I know you guys want to hear from our general manager. And he's got more work to do tonight, guys. We've got more picks and more things to accomplish.
It was just the first chapter in the draft book of 2024.
It is. Terry Fontenot sitting down with us. And, Terry, first of all, thank you. When we talked to you when Rod did his interview, or actually the interview after he got hired, you said, I want to come on more with you guys. And we were like, yes, please.
Yes.
So thank you for coming in because we know it's a busy time. First and foremost, we're going to talk plenty about what happened last night and everything. You ready for tonight?
Ready.
You ready to go?
We're ready to go. We're very excited. We have three picks at this point, and obviously we could get more picks. We could get less picks if we move around, but there's some good players out there, so we're very excited.
You shocked the NFL last night. I mean, you shocked me. You shocked a lot of Falcons.
He said, yeah.
We're getting kind of the timeline. Yep. When did you – was it a combination that you had identified Michael Penix Jr. as a guy you were going to take, and it was going to take a sweetheart offer for somebody trying to trade to the eighth pick? Or was it a combination of both, and you just said, I'm going to go with Penix after other offers weren't able to be consummated?
Yeah, there's a long process, and there weren't any big offers that in regards to moving out, that there weren't any of those. But we go through the whole process. We take our time going through this, and we obviously did a lot of work on the quarterbacks. And we have a really smart staff that really digs into things. And when you look at the history of the quarterback position and you go back through the years, and it is hard to hit on quarterbacks. It's just the truth, and it's not easy. And then you have some drafts where not much comes from those drafts. You have some drafts where you have more. This is a strong draft, and we're picking at us in a premier spot where you have a chance to get a guy that you really believe in. We really believe in Michael Penix. We have a lot of conviction on him as a player. We believe he's going to be a franchise quarterback. Now, we go into this offseason, and number one, we got to get the right head coach. We knocked it out the park. I mean, this Raheem Morris is special, so we couldn't be more excited about that. And number two, we got to get that quarterback position right, right? Everybody in here understands that.
No doubt.
We said, let's go get the best available guy in free agency, and we couldn't be more excited about Kirk Cousins. Right. What he's been since he's been here, everything we expected, and he has been outstanding. He is a true multiplier on and off the field. Couldn't be more excited about Kirk. And we keep working through these college quarterbacks, and we don't know because there's no way we weren't going to not get a guy in free agency and not know what's going to happen. But we keep working through these guys, and we fell in love with Michael Penix. And so we didn't know if he was going to be there or not. You don't know what's going to happen in the draft. And so when he was there at eight, we picked him. And Kirk is our quarterback.
Okay.
We'll be real clear with that. We're going to win a lot of games with Kirk. And that's why we're not going to have another chance to get up there to get a guy like Michael Penix. So Kirk is our quarterback. And Michael Penix he's going to sit and he's going to learn. And Kirk is going to we're going to win a lot of games with him, and he's going to pass that torch at some point, whenever that is, and we're going to win a lot of games with Michael Penix.
So you feel we're just never going to be in a position? Is that the logic behind it? You'll never get a shot to get it? You feel he's generational, Michael
Penix?
You
can't guarantee that you're going to be in a position to pick a guy. You don't you can't guarantee what's going to be in next year's draft, what's going to be in the draft in 2 years, in 3 years. You can't guarantee and then where are you going to be? Or you're going to have an opportunity to get a guy. So you can't guarantee those things. So if you believe in a quarterback, you can't pass on him. You can't do that. You can't pass on a quarterback if you believe in it. You believe in the intangibles, the makeup, and the player and the person. You cannot pass up that. We love Kirk, and we know we're going to win a lot of games with Kirk, and we don't know when he's going to be passing that torch. But when you have an opportunity to do that, you have to take it.
Terry, where was Mr. Blank on this? Because you're talking about the financials of it, right?
Yeah.
We know what we invested in Kirk Cousins. You're taking Michael at eight. There's a financial commitment there. Where was Mr. Blank on this process? And, you know, people have seen the video of you guys, obviously, in the war room, and you're talking to him. And I said a lot of this stuff because there's no words, but, you know, you're being animated. And people have been misled that
not
somehow
knowing the context.
You're trying to explain to him.
My wife asked me about that. She said, what were you talking to Arthur about? And I don't know exactly what we were talking about at that point. What it probably was – well, first of all, Mr. Blank is very excited.
Yeah.
And we're aligned throughout this whole process and full – everyone's excited about – he was fully supportive in going out and getting Kirk. And then he's fully supportive if he knows that we believe in a quarterback and taking that quarterback of the future. He's very excited about it. And he's a, there's not many owners that would do that, that would make that level of investment and then still allow you to take a quarterback at that point. But in Mr. Blank's mind, and I'll let him speak for himself at the appropriate time, but he's excited about that, because to say that, okay, we have our quarterback right now and we have our quarterback of the future. Because sometimes you'll sit places, you'll sit in situations where you don't have a quarterback, and that's not a good feeling. But to say we feel good about now and the future, that's special. So he's fully supportive, very excited. So that video, again, I don't know exactly what when it was or what, because I'm a very animated person the way I talk. But what it probably was is as soon as we picked Kirk, as soon as we took Michael Penix off the board, and even before that, we were working hard to get back in the draft.
Get back in the first round.
Yes, sir. We wanted to get back in the first round. We had our eyes on certain players, and so we were grinding and trying to get back in. And so when you do that, you have certain levels of certain capital that you'll give up at each spot. And so if I was animated with my hands, I was probably saying that, okay, we'll have to give up this, this, and this to get to this point. If we're going to get to pick above pick 15, we're trying to get above pick 15 to do this, and this is what we're going to have to give up. And if we get lower, then we're gonna move down and we're going to give this up. And so that's probably what I was talking about, where we would get. And, again, he was excited about getting Michael Penix, and he was very excited about trying to get back into the draft. And so that's probably what we're talking about.
Yeah, and I said that to our listeners, because some things can be misleading.
Right. And Terry Fontenot's with us, guys, Falcons GM Live inside the Ticketmaster Studios here at the Branch. Because the perception we had, and not to quote the previous coach here, a surface narrative, we felt you needed edge rush and you needed corners. Yep. When you evaluated the draft, you just said, we already talked about the transformative nature you feel about Penix Jr., but you feel you can still address edge rush. Latu was reported by Steve Weiss, somebody we were looking at.
Yeah, and we were trying to – not only him, but there's some other good defensive players that we're trying to get back. We worked hard to get back in that thing and get some more players, but we do. It's a good draft. I'm getting text messages right now about look, we can move around in this draft. We can move around in the next couple rounds, but there's some defensive players we're really excited about. Yeah. And the other part is this is 24/7, 365.
Right.
And I have a lot of confidence in that we're going to get out of this draft. We're going to continue it. We're going to bring in some good players in this draft. And then after the draft, we're going to it can be a trade. It can be, we're going to be very aggressive and continue to make this team better.
We're not done.
We're not done.
Thank you.
No.
The thing about the deep, and again, this is where we don't want to get the listeners and the audience off base here. We just felt that, you know, you need some edge rush. You need some corners. Unless, you know, you feel like what you have in the building is going to evolve with this new coaching staff. Is that part of the equation?
Well, you're excited about what you have in the building, but it's not. And again, I want to be real clear. It's, there were good player, other players on the board that we liked, but you don't pass up a quarterback.
Okay.
When you believe in them to this level and you have this kind of conviction, and you don't pass up on them. Again, that's the number one thing we said. We got to fix the quarterback position, okay? And that's why we did everything we could do to get Kirk, and that's why we just drafted. Now, if I'm sitting here right here and we hadn't done anything in free agency or the draft, y'all are going to have a different tone. That's when you should be mad, all right? That's when you should be mad. But and look, it's, we love Kirk and his character and all those things so much, and we love Michael Penix and his character and all those things so much. Both those guys have rare maturity, rare makeup, and they're physically gifted, but the reason they're such good players is because of their makeup, because of who they are and the people, you know, meeting Michael Penix's family just now. And when you get around those guys and get around their families, you see why they are who they are. And I told them it's very impressive. So excited about, again, couldn't say more good things about Kirk, and we couldn't be more excited about Michael Penix.
And if you're just joining us, that's the voice of Terry Fontenot, our general manager here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. It's Dukes and Bell. We found out today that Michael shared, hey, Kirk called me last night, and we talked, but I'm going to keep it private. But the idea that he even reached out.
Yep.
Terry, you know, you've been around this business. Some cats, they're like, I'm not doing it.
Yep.
That's the character build, the makeup of a guy like Kirk Cousins. And
yes,
I think that speaks volumes, knowing how the fan base and everybody was kind of reacting. He's like, we're about to go to work.
Kirk's special. He's a great man. And the way he prepares and the way he goes about his business, and now to have a young player, because as mature as Penix is, but to have him in the building and to get to see a guy like Kirk do the things and carry himself the way he does, prepare the way he does, you talk about the consummate pro, and to be able to see that for 3, 4, however many years it is, however long it is, for him to be able to really see that, that's going to be special.
How are you, and I don't know if you do, deal with the negative fan sentiment when something like last night happens in the fan base, right? They're not in the building. Think you're going to go one way, you go another, and then there's this reaction of, oh, Terry, do you hear it? Do you react to it? So, how do you take that on?
Yeah, so, you know, I talked to a lot of former GMs before I even took a general manager job, and a lot of guys that I really respect. And I think it was Bill Polian that told me, he said, all right, now, he said, the president of the United States and GMs of sports teams, they get the most criticism ever. So make sure your family's ready. Make sure everybody's prepared for it. And me and my family have conversations about eagles, and we said, hey, be an eagle, always fly higher. And don't – there's going to be a lot of negative sometimes, but understand that that's not – don't take it personal. There are a lot of passionate people, and it's nothing bad about them. And so just – be above it. Don't take those things seriously. And I also have on my desk, I have a cool article. It's Jerry West, and he's got Kobe and Shaq, and it's a cool article, and it's talking about how he operated. And there's some negativity when he drafted Kobe.
Yeah.
And then when he got Shaq and when he did those things that he did, there was a lot of negativity regarding it. And Jerry's talking about how when you have conviction and when you have to be aggressive, don't live in your fears, and you have to be aggressive when you have true conviction. And obviously there was a lot of negativity right when that happened, but then you look years later and all those championships, everybody was fine with it. So I love our fan base, our passionate fan base, and I absolutely love them. And that's, you wouldn't want to be somewhere where people didn't care about anything. But That's why we're doing these things. That's why we work so hard to do that, because we want to make sure that once we win all these games with Kirk, and then when Kirk's hanging up the cleats, I don't want them to have to deal with we from all the way down from our owner to our head coach Raheem, our whole organization. We don't want them to have to deal with some laws and we're waiting to try to find another guy when, hey, a few years ago y'all passed one up that's lighting it up right, wherever. So we want to make sure we could do that. And we're going to continue to build this football team. We're going to find it, but you don't pass up good quarterbacks.
I know we've covered that, you know, why you were interested in Michael Penix Jr., what he did on the field. I just felt that, you know, with Jordan Love with the Packers, they'd attained a level of success we're still aspiring to get to.
Yeah.
We hadn't been in the playoffs in 6 years. So, I mean, it just felt like around the country, wow, they got to get some other worker bees in here before we can go get a quarterback. I just said, I know there was other collaborators back in 2021. I would have felt did you just not see Justin Fields as that guy in 21 when you had Matt Ryan, when some said that could have been a nice succession?
Well, what's your opinion on Justin Fields and how it's worked out?
Not well.
Right. I wouldn't talk about another player on another team right now, but every draft is different. And if you look at some of the drafts and from that draft, I think is there one quarterback that's still on the same team from that draft? And every draft is completely different. There are some drafts where you have several quarterbacks, some you don't have. So what you have to do is you don't want to reach. And we would never go into this draft and say, we're taking a quarterback at 8 no matter what. We're taking our quarterback of the future. No, if you don't see that player there and you don't have that kind of conviction or belief, then you don't do it. And, again, I don't want to go back as we're talking about a particular player. Right. I'm not saying that, you know, I'm saying that you have to have true belief
in Michael Penix Jr. Yes, sir. Transformative guy.
We believe in Michael Penix Jr. At that point, we didn't do it. We didn't see a player at 4 that we would take. We had that kind of conviction on. We have conviction on Michael Penix Jr.
Let me tell you what I'm hearing, Terry, or what we get. You don't hear it. Dukes and Bell, man, he better go defense tonight.
I'll say it. You better go defense tonight, man. I need some defense.
I got it. Bell, if he don't go defense, we're going to have a problem on Monday. I'm like, will you guys relax?
We got
plenty of draft left, man. We got plenty of stuff that's going to happen. But that's the kind of stuff we deal
with. Sir.
Because we are the conduit for this team, obviously, and we talk to the fans every day. But we try to explain, you know, hey, I understand you feel some kind of way, but you got to see how this all works. You are telling us you have a plan. Going into rounds 2 and 3 tonight, obviously, there is a plan, right?
Sir. There's a plan.
All right.
Correct.
Listen, we got a lot more work to do. Terry, as far as one other thing I just want to mention, is Dukes and Bell Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. As this offseason goes along and you said, hey, we're going to continue to try to make moves, are we hampered in any way to do anything that you might want to do? Like, as you look at the structure of the cap or the team?
Yep. Good question. Yeah, absolutely not. And that's why I said, even as we get out of this draft, there's still more things we can do. There's right. always different options. And we have a really good administration staff. And whether you have to convert contracts or move some things around, okay. we can figure out ways to do. But you have to be selective if the right opportunity. And we're in on communication with a lot of things. You know, I talked about how much I love our fans and love their passion. And the hard thing, you kind of wish sometimes you could just bring them into the room and let them sit down, let them go through the meetings and let them get all the information. Because a lot of times they don't have all the information on everything. And so they can just react off of what they see, and they don't have everything that we have. And so you wish you could kind of pull back the curtain sometimes, but I would ask them to trust us that we'll do everything we can do the rest of this draft and even afterwards. We're not going to close any doors, and we're going to continue to build this team.
One last – I swear no more Penix Jr. questions because he is our backup quarterback right now. Again, the conversation with Cousins, was that awkward? I mean, the timing – because the way it was portrayed nationally is the agent gets the call and then Kirk's at Mercedes-Benz, and it seemed like there was maybe a lapse, or was it misreported? I know you talked about this last night.
Yeah, and yeah, we wouldn't share any yeah. – any. But there was a we wouldn't share any of those private conversations, but I would say this about Kirk. He's a special human being. He's a special person. We've been so excited about the way he's handled every single thing since he's been here, and we're excited about him moving forward.
All right. Listen, well, let's go back to work. Let's continue to team build.
Yes, sir.
We appreciate you stopping by. You getting any sleep, by the way? What's your schedule like on this for these days leading up to? A lot of sleep, little sleep? What's the schedule?
You got to make sure you get some sleep, right, because you need the sleep to make decisions and all that good stuff. So you don't get to bed until late, just like you guys.
Yeah,
I mean, you get to bed pretty late, but you got to sleep in a little bit and make sure you get enough rest. So, we're all getting the proper amount of sleep, but right. I guarantee we're working, and we're going to keep building this thing.
Look, you don't have to tell us your secret sauce, but next time we spend 3 months talking edge rush, you got to give us a hint.
I tried to tell him. Terry Fontenot, thank
you. Appreciate you guys.
Good luck tonight.
Yes, sir.
Falcon fans will be paying attention. Guys, we have a second-round pick and two-thirds tonight as we go into this draft. All
43rd
right?
tonight. 43rd over.
We'll see, man. We might move.
Oh.
All right.
My man.
All right.
Terry Fontenot, guys, here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. We are going to take a break. We're going to come back. You'll hear from our quarterback who stopped by, Michael Penix Jr. You'll hear what he had to say coming up next.
The most important story of the day. Brought to you by MaximumCashHomeBuyers.com. Fair cash offers for as-is homes. Don't waste your time with repairs. Call 678-902-2000.
He is here. And we are here with him at Flowery Branches. Dukes and Bell Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Michael Penix Jr.
What's up?
What's going on, man?
Hey, man.
First of all, brother, you look good. I mean, that suit is... Woo!
I appreciate it.
Fire!
I always like the white collar, the tab collar, Carl, with the shirt. That's tight. That's always
sir.
Tight.
I appreciate it.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
First and foremost, man, that can't be lost in this other stuff that we're about to talk about, and everybody's crazy about the draft. Just congratulations on living your dream and getting here. What's this been like, man, these last, I guess, 12 hours now? Yeah. What's it been like?
It's been crazy. You know, a surreal moment. You know, something I've been dreaming of since a kid. And I'm just super excited for the opportunity, and I can't wait to make the most out of it. So
how surprised were you that the Falcons were the guys who picked you?
I wouldn't say I was much surprised. You know, I'm not going to say also I was fully expecting it, you know, but I know that I had a great workout with them. And the coaching staff, you know, I feel like they were very impressed, and they told me that they really liked me, you know, as a player and as a person. So I'm super excited to be able to be a part of this staff. So,
Michael, what was it, though, in your workout that you thought you did well? You know, like when you come off the field, you're like, man, I killed that. I crushed it. What was it about the Falcons workout? I know you had a couple, but what was it about that felt you – that you left and felt good about what you had shown to them?
I'll just say the way I work, the way I went about it, you know, just the detail that I had, the attention to detail, you know, they were teaching me different footwork, different things that, you know, they do within the offense. I feel like I took that on, and I threw great. You know, I feel like every ball was thrown great. You know, obviously – like you hear the story, it was like windy. It was real windy. It was a cold day. You know, we was outside and
you were slinging it.
I was slinging it, you know, through the wind. So yeah, man, I feel like that also was probably impressed them too. You know, just for me to be able to do it within those conditions.
We played some audio with Michael Penix Jr. live inside the Ticketmaster Studios here at Falcons headquarters. Your old coach, Kalen DeBoer, talking about what makes you. Right. For those, and by now most folks know the journey, but talk about it, man. First, you know, from high school in Florida to Indiana, and then and dealing with the adversity and the injuries and everything that made you. Talk about it.
Yeah, man. I've been through a lot, you know, to get into this spot right now, you know, being on this show. You know, I feel like, you know, it took a lot to get here, you know, but I'm super blessed for it. I wouldn't change it for anything. You know, I feel like everything I've been through, you know, helped shape me into the person, the player I am today, you know. So, and it was crazy, you know, like all the injuries, it was tough to go through, you know, but I just continue to keep my faith and, you know, I leaned on my family and all the ones that loved and supported me throughout that process.
Michael Penix Jr. threw for 4,900 yards, guys. He played with some dudes we saw last night that went in the draft. Yeah. Congratulations to your boy, Roma Dunze.
Yes,
I know, you know, you guys are starting your careers, and it's going to be cool to watch. Talk about these injuries. We've gotten the question, Michael, about how this may have played out. Did teams focus on that with you? Mm-hmm. And how much of that was the discussion? I know we're talking, what, 4 years ago now, right?
Yeah.
Was that even a part of the discussion, or was it just about ball?
Yeah, it was mainly about ball. You know, obviously, you know, I had to do the medicals and stuff like that, you know, just to make sure I'm good and I'm clear right now. And once I got through that part, you know, I feel like it was just about ball. It wasn't really about the injuries, you know, because, you know, I feel like one of the biggest reasons why I came back for my sixth year, you know, at the University of Washington, just to show that I can have 2 years of, you know, being healthy instead of just 1 year. You know, I do it just for 1 year, but I was like, okay, if I do it back-to-back, you know, and just be even better, you know, obviously I put myself in a great position, and I was able to do that.
COVID allowed that, though, right? That,
correct.
For you to come back. A lot,
correct,
of people don't know that. I mean, Bo Nix was another guy last night.
Yep.
You're one of them. The COVID gave these guys an extended another year to come back to school, and I think that's important when people talk about, oh, you know, how long was he there, 5 or 6 years? COVID did that.
Yeah. Yeah, it was COVID. It was COVID that did that.
Now, you're raring to go. What have they told you about how this is going to play out, man? Obviously, we pay Kirk Cousins a lot of loot. Mm-hmm. You guys are very similar. You're a lefty. He's a righty. But your guys at pocket passes. Real quick, let me back that up. You surprised a lot of people with your 40 time.
Yeah.
I mean, was that like, I knew I could do that. But, I mean, that kind of elevated you in some people's minds, that you, how the mobility you didn't want to necessarily have to show on the football field.
Yeah, for me, I always knew I could run, you know, and everybody around me, you know, the whole team, they knew I could run as well. You know, it was just, you know, I never showed it in the game. You know, I didn't have to. I had a lot of weapons around me. You know, my process and ability on the field, you know, it was, I feel like, second to none. You know, I feel like I prepared to the level to where I was able to get to my fourth and fifth read, you know, just because I'm off of my first and second based on, you know, coverages and, you know, just all the preparation and film study I'm doing, you know. So, you know, I feel like I didn't have to run much. You know, like, right. you didn't see me get sacked a lot, you know, and I'm sitting in the pocket, you know, delivering throws, you know, to my receivers, you know. So, for me, I just wanted to write that on my own narrative, you know. That's why I wanted to run. I'm like, okay, I know what I can do. And everybody that's close to me know what I can do, but I'm going to show everybody else what I can do. So it was super fun to be able to do that.
What else is Michael Penix into, man? I mean, obviously you love football. You're blessed with ability. When it's not this, what is it for you?
Yeah, man, I love to fish. I'm a fishing guy.
Salt water, or are we talking about
lake? I like salt water, but I go lakes too. I started off at lakes, upgraded to salt water. Still go to a lake every now and then.
Because you spent time in Florida, so you know how to get out on a bay and get
right.
it done.
Okay. For yeah. sure, yes, right. sir.
Originally from Tampa, right?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, it's funny, man. I don't know if you saw what Pitts said about you last night. They were watching the draft, and you get drafted, and Kyle Pitts was like, man, yeah, we were watching him because apparently you guys have known or aware of each other, uh-huh. I guess, you know, high schools or family or whatever. But he was talking highly about your ability, and when you got drafted, he's like, man. Guy can throw the ball, you know, so
sure.
it was cool to hear him compliment you in that way. But your family, talk a little bit about, you know, your background and your upbringing, man, because coming back down here, I mean, you went to Washington, and I don't know if a lot of people know, you're from down south, right?
Right, yeah, man. I got both my parents, you know, my mom, she was a track star. My dad, he played football. They were at Tennessee Tech University. You know, that's where my younger brother is. Now I got two little brothers, as a matter of fact, but one of them is in college, you know. But I have a great family, a great support system. You know, obviously, being away in Washington, it was different. You know, it's far. You know, they got to make that trip. you know, they probably didn't want to make that trip always, but they always did, you know, just because of the love and the support that they have for me. And I'm super blessed to be able to have that in my life. So I can't thank them enough.
It's like an hour five from GPA to ATL.
Yeah, I mean, that's true.
It's true. Our man Michael Penix Jr. is here. So, yeah, getting back to it. So, I mean, you'll be 24 in a couple of days. Next month is your birthday.
Yes, sir.
So how raring are you to go? What are they telling you about how this plays out, the competition? How does it work?
Yeah, for me, you know, I just know I want to come here and make an impact any way that I can. You know, obviously, Kirk Cousins, you know, he's an amazing guy and an amazing quarterback as well. You know, I say that because of the amount of time he's been in the league. You know, he's been here for a while. He's done great things. You know, he's won games. He won games at the highest level, which is here in the NFL. And I can't wait to be able to work with him, to learn from him, and support him, you know, throughout this whole journey, you know. But for me, that's my main focus, you know, just to try to get 1% better each and every day. You know, be a great person, be a great teammate, a great leader, not just on but off the field as well in the locker room.
Tell us about your competitive fire, man. I mean, we see your ability on Saturdays. We saw what you were able to do, but day to day, like, what's the process for you? How do you approach this thing?
Yeah, when you say tell you about my competitive fire, you know, it's tough just to say what it is because, you know, I can show you better than what I can tell you,
yeah.
You know, man.
Yeah.
I'm a guy that, you know, I'm going to go do it. You know, everything that I do, I'm going to make sure it's something that can lead me to be successful, you know. So the way I take care of my body, the way I work each and every day, workouts, you know, just always trying to be the first one, you know, first one in, last one out, you know, just going in, attacking each and every day with that mindset that, you know, I want to be better and do whatever I can to help the team. And that's what it's always been about for me, and that's what it's going to continue to be about for me. And I just can't wait to get to work.
It's our new quarterback, guys, Michael Penix Jr. here live inside the Ticketmaster Studios at Falcons headquarters. You beat my boys Longhorns in the semifinal game.
It happens.
Dropping dimes. Have you always had that accuracy? Because some guys say you just can't coach that level, or is something you've continued to work on?
I mean, I had it for a while, you know, but I feel like it definitely got better through the years. You know, ever since I was a little kid, I always threw a good deep ball. You know, that was one thing I always threw good.
Go deep. Go deep.
Yeah, I always threw a good deep ball for some reason. I always had that. But, you know, obviously as you get older, you learn mechanics and different things like that, you know, to help you even more better. And that's what helped me a lot, too, you know, throughout these years. You know, been with different quarterback coaches to help me, you know, just improve my game, you know, in different aspects of it. So,
anybody you emulate after, man? Anybody you watch coming up and you say, hey, I love the way they play?
Yeah, you know, I won't say I really ever emulated anybody. You know, I always try to be myself, and you know, and just try to find ways to, you know, gain that competitive edge, you know, and find things that I did best, and try to use that to the best of my abilities and put that into my play, you know. But, you know, growing up, man, now I'm here in Atlanta.
Say it.
Mike Vick. Mike Vick.
For those who don't
there
know,
it is.
Left-handed as well, Carl.
There it is.
Yeah, man, Mike Vick. I always looked at Mike Vick growing up, you know. But you don't see me running how he did.
Yeah.
I'm gonna give him his flowers on his legs, you know. But I could do it too, but I'm not going to say I could do it like that. But, man, whenever I need to use my legs, I will. And I'm do whatever I can to help my team win football games. So,
Michael Penix Jr. is with us, guys. As you say, getting 1% better. What is something you want to work on? What is something you want to work on to improve your game?
Yeah, man, just trusting it, trusting my legs. You know, like I'm talking about my legs right now, just trusting it. You know, like I said, you know, always knowing the talent and abilities I have within my feet, you know, but, you know, just with my processing abilities, the way I'm able to get through my reads, knowing what my check down is, knowing when to throw it away, when to save it down and stuff like that, you know. So I always, it was sometimes like I go back and look at film and I'm like, okay, I got a three technique rushing at me, you know, and I throw the ball away, you know, nobody's open, I dirt it somewhere, and I'm like, okay, that's a safe play. I still got my team in a good position. We're not getting behind the sticks and stuff like that. And that's how I go about my game. You know, I try to manage the game, but I do look back and I'm like, okay, that's a three technique. He's about three something.
I ain't messing with that.
He can't run. He can't run what I run. So sometimes I do feel like I can, you know, scramble and extend the play. And that's something that I'm going to work on, you know, with my, you know, progressions.
With those Washington Huskies and maybe going back to your time with the Hoosiers, is everybody in the huddle? I'm open, man. I got this guy.
Nah, I never really had that much. You know, I had a lot of unselfish guys, you know, guys that wanted to see everybody be great, you know, around them. So I'm super blessed to be able to have that. But, you know, They all know that I'm going to find a way to get you the ball. You get open, I'm going to find a way to get it to you.
Well, you played with pros there, right? I mean, that had to be a benefit. You're seeing it now with guys getting drafted, but everybody all season was like, well, he's playing with like three NFL guys. How was it that a benefit for you? Because I think it is coming into the league and having played with that kind of caliber player.
Yeah, for sure, man. It's definitely a benefit. You know, those guys are remarkable. You know, I had three great receivers, a running back, tight ends, offensive line. It was all across the board. You know, I had a lot of great guys around me. You know, so I was super blessed to be able to have that. And, you know, I feel like we work together to help each other be better. And I feel like, you know, for me in my game, I try to highlight everybody else around me, you know. So whenever people talk about me not running much, I'm like, okay, I got this guy. I got this guy. I got that guy. I want to get him the ball. I want to make him look successful and stuff like that. But, you know, I also been in a place where I didn't have that. Now, I was at Indiana. I found success, was a part of the number 7 team in the country, you know, whenever I was there. You know, and we didn't have a guy on offense that was ever drafted my whole time there.
Right.
You know, so it's like I've been in that position where, you know, I didn't have much, you know, but it was just a lot of guys that was working hard and just not worrying about the outside noise and just going in and just competing at a high level and just going in and putting in the work with our head down, you know. So I've had both sides of it and been able to be successful in both sides of it. So I'm super excited about the future.
Man, we were pulling for you at a national championship game, even after losing Texas.
Man. I was.
I just felt if Dylan Johnson wasn't banged up, if he could have, it was 100%, it just changes that dynamic in that game.
It does. You know, he was banged up. He was banged up for a little bit of time, you know, throughout the year. You know, started during, I think it was a championship game, the Pac-12. You know, he kind of got banged up. So it was tough, you know, but it kind of took away our run game. But for us, we just continue to try to play our game.
Michael Penix, you and the A. Welcome.
Yes, sir. I appreciate it.
Thank you, brother, for being here. Good luck with everything. We're looking forward to seeing you. Let's get to work.
Yes, sir. I'm ready.
We're ready. As we said, how can you not root for a kid like that? Great story. Whether you agreed with the pick and the timing of it, Michael Penix is here to make things happen.
As we said earlier in the show, man, it's a hell of a success story. And we did argue with some audience about him being a – remember that a few months ago? Guys thinking he wouldn't be a first-rounder?
Yeah.
And now he's in Atlanta Falcon.
Yeah, no doubt. All right, we're coming back. We're going to tell you what we think should happen tonight. And if you missed Terry Fontenot at the end of the interview, he said, we may do something tonight.
Oh.
I thought that was a cue.
All right.
So
yes, please.
Stay tuned.
I got a dude I want in this draft.
Matter of fact, coming up at 7 o'clock, Harper LaBelle, Joe Patrick, our buddy John Fricke, they're going to have you covered for rounds 2 and 3. We're going to come back. We'll tell you who we're projecting that they might go after next. Branch, we talked to the general manager. I felt like he answered all of our questions. Again, the one thing that I hope you took away from his answers about Michael Penix, and he answered it like 4 times.
I know, I did work that, like Mike Wallace, I tried.
Was you don't pass on a quarterback when you love him. That's it. Like, you can overthink this and make it more than what it is, and that's as simple as it gets when this team made the decision they made last night. And that's what I was expressing earlier in the show, Mike. When you love a guy and the owner signs off on it like he did, you make this move, and that's where this is.
And we've talked about this before, you know, when teams go with their guy. And we use that phrase, if you fall in love with that guy, clearly they fell in love. Now, we could debate and we could argue, is it wise to then give a guy $100 million if you feel you've got another guy? But I think this is a byproduct of everything that's come before.
Yes.
Not having a quarterback they liked in the 21 class. You heard his answer about Justin Fields, because some would say, why not create that succession plan there? And he answered that question quite definitively. And then I think the owner was pushing the Deshaun Watson thing, which then it then sped up the Matt Ryan exit process, which then left you with Mariota, the big zero now with the Commanders. That's his number. And then subsequently Desmond Ridder, who this coaching staff is not here anymore. New coach. I think that's one thing. And I've got to remind myself, Carl, from time to time, from coaching up what we got, the scheme, maximizing the talent. I think we all envy the Rams offense, and now we're going to try to create our own version of it, first with Kirk Cousins. It's just still, though, it is hard, and I'm getting better at it, wrapping my head around why we did it. But, man, I still think you've got to be able to knock it 1, 2, 3 down a stretch tonight. 2 second-round pick and those 2 third-round picks to address those needs. We need some starters, brother.
We do. Before we talk to Harper LaBelle and Joe Patrick and John Fricke, who are going to be on at 7 o'clock here, and they'll get you caught up on all the latest with the second and third rounds. Tonight, edge guys that you may hear, Marshawn Nealon, Western Michigan. 6'3", about 270.
That's what I want.
22 years old, nice player, guys.
That's what I want.
Well, and Mike, you know, you talked about Braswell, the Alabama kid opposite, all right, of Dallas Turner, 6'3", 250, 8 sacks, had a pick six. You know, I make that joke. Strip sack. Right. Yeah. He did a lot of that. Block field goal. You have options. Austin Booker at Kansas. There are guys that are there if you want to try and say, hey, we're gonna address this edge thing.
Austin Booker, guys, is a physical freak, big guy, 6'6". And, if you could just combine that with what we've got with Grady, getting Grady back is almost like getting a free agent to a degree, getting him in that mix. And then don't forget, we're getting Troy Anderson back. He'll be battling with our buddy from Zimbabwe, Nate Landman, for that job. But do we go for linebacker tonight? Is that something we have not even mentioned that one?
No, we haven't. But I would tell you, like, for me, and, you know, we made the joke with Terry Fontenot, and then we're going to talk to our guys. I said, you know, you guys are telling us they better go defense tonight. Mike, I want to do, personally, not in no particular order, however they have these guys rated, but I want to go edge. I'd like to go corner.
Right.
And then I'd like to also potentially go D-line. Because I think there's some other D-line tackles, defensive tackles in there to add some depth in there. And then I'll feel a lot better about this. I think our linebackers are okay, actually.
Hey, Fiske, don't forget my boy Fiske from FSU, man.
Oh, it's possible.
It's kind of a new Grady Jarrett type player for you.
Harper LaBelle, Joe Patrick, I know you guys are in studio. John Fricke's going to be a part of it as well, and you guys will be breaking down things. How you guys doing, man?
Yes, we will. It's, you know, it's funny, Dukes. We're just talking about, you know, how we were feeling. How were we reacting last night when this thing went down? I feel like everybody has a story now of, like, where were you? What were you doing when
you saw
the
Kennedy assassination?
Yeah, exactly.
When the space shuttle blows up, and where were you when the Falcons picked Michael Penix?
No doubt.
Tonight, though, listen, I think you guys are getting, okay, first round, there's always intrigue. Tonight's there's real intrigue because you don't know where this is going to go. And a lot of these players, again, people may not be as familiar with. So I think you guys are going to have a lot of fun tonight. And by the way, I know you may have heard it, but Terry Fontenot said they could make a move, which means I think they're trying to acquire some additional picks.
Yeah. And it makes total sense.
Yeah, they have a first-round value on someone.
Total sense. If he was talking about moving yesterday to potentially move up into the first round, it makes you think that there's still somebody out there on the board who they might want to go after. So, yeah, I think there's going to be some movement on the Falcons side for sure.
How long are you guys? You guys going to the end of the round, right? Till the end of the night?
Yeah, we're going to 11.
Okay.
And a question I'm going to have during that time for Harper and Joe, I want to ask you a mic real quick. You know, 2 years ago, we had Noodle Arm Quitter and DoorDash Dez, worst quarterback room in the NFL. Regardless of how you feel about the pick, do the Falcons now have the best quarterback room in the NFL?
One of them. There's no doubt. Now, I will say this.
We've actually overcompensated, some would say, John.
Maybe.
John, we still have to see Michael in an NFL uniform.
Yep.
But, yes, from a potential standpoint and where we're at right now, this looks and feels way better than where we were two seasons ago.
Right.
No doubt about it. Guys, looking forward to hearing you guys. Stay there. John Fricke, Harper LaBelle, and our man Joe Patrick have you covered for rounds 2 and 3, guys, and we'll see what the Falcons do here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Big O, we got to get out of here, man. Let's clear our throat.
Dukes and Bell are wrapping up another show, so it's time for
Let Me Clear My Throat
on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Big shout out today to Michael Penix Jr. stopping by, hanging out with us. The interview is online at Odyssey.com. Thanks to Terry Fontenot, Falcons GM. He'll be at work tonight. The entire staff, everybody's up here, man. War room, they're in there trying to make it happen for us. So we'll see how things shake out. Monday, Mike and I are back talking about it with you and trying to figure out were the moves made tonight and over the weekend the right moves to get us where we need to be. Guys, we'll recap the entire draft. We'll see what everybody in our division did. We'll be going around the NFL, so you do not want to miss the show Monday. Want to wish everybody a happy weekend. It's going to be nice weather, so get out and enjoy. Turtle, great job up here, executive producing. Jersey Mike, our on-site engineer, and Big O back at the studio. Thank you so much. Shout out to the Falcon staff for helping us out today as well. Mike Bell, we got to get out of here, man. Clear your throat.
Hey, man, when Brett Veach picked up Patrick Mahomes, they were saying, you got to go get DK Metcalf, man. Man, what are you doing? You got Alex Smith. Thing is, they had been winning divisions. They had been winning double-digit seasons year after year in Kansas City. You know, Gutenquist down there and up there in Green Bay, he had Aaron Rodgers. That thing was going sideways, and then getting Love kind of put it over the top. And now Love looks like the man. when we do get to the end of the Kirk Cousins run, let's hope that we, too, are in the middle of a playoff run that will then extend with Michael Penix Jr. I just felt, Carl, you can't have a succession plan until you have some success. We haven't been in the playoffs in 6 years. Hopefully we get it right tonight.
Yeah, Braves tonight start a very interesting series against the Guardians. Yes, we're good, but so are they. Guardians have 18 victories. That's the most in the American League, while the Braves have 17 wins. The thing that I'm curious about is, when is he going to get out of his slump? If I told you that one of the best Braves hitters was 1-for-28 and hasn't hit a home run since April 7th, you'd be like, oh, that's not Matt Olson. It's Matt Olson.
Ruh-roh.
He's got to come out of it. Ozuna's doing his thing. Michael Money Harris is doing his. Matt Olson, we need you. Hey, if you love the show,
you tell your friends.
If you don't,
you keep getting up during the Braves game. Sit down.